This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now I want to take the question. This is Sophia's question. As Muslims, we should love our beloved Prophet ﷺ more than anyone else, more than our parents and children, more than ourselves, and we should love Allah Azza wa Jal even more than the Prophet ﷺ. Can you please give us some advice on how to achieve both in a way that pleases Allah? I'm asking because our Nabi ﷺ loved us so much, he kept his dua for the Day of Judgment to save us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that we need to love the Prophet ﷺ if we want to have Allah's love and forgiveness. How to keep the right balance between our love for the Prophet ﷺ and our longing for meeting him in the hereafter, and the supreme love and dependence and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a fantastic question, and it's something so difficult, you know, like, how do you balance between the love of Allah and the love of the Prophet ﷺ? The Quran helps us in this regard. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. In a very succinct, brief statement, Allah has, like, completely covered this subject. If you truly love Allah, follow me lovingly. See, we don't get to meet Allah until Judgment Day. We don't get to see Allah until Judgment Day. We got to see, the Sahaba got to see the Prophet ﷺ. They got to live by his example. They interacted with him. And so the love of the Prophet ﷺ is far more tangible because it's a human being that we are that we show loyalty to. And the way you express your love to the Prophet ﷺ is by trying to live by his beautiful example. And remembering his example, you know, we tend to highlight the visible things, right? So for example, well, when we talk about the sunnah, we talk a lot more about the beard, you know, or the adhkar, the ones that can be heard, the utterances and remembrances that can be heard. We talk about those more. But the etiquette and the mannerisms and the way he carried himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he demonstrated patience in the face of ignorance, the way he dealt in business, the way he dealt with people that were, you know, antagonistic towards him, the way he dealt with, you know, people that were even, you know, corrupt Muslims, the way he dealt with them. These dealings we forget. So we embody the love of the Prophet ﷺ in superficial ways, but the character that it demands, we've kind of lost sight of, you know? Like, the most ironic case of that I felt was like at Hajj. So when I went to Hajj, you know, there are people that have books with them of the Masnoon prayers, like the du'as that the Prophet ﷺ used to make, and they're reciting those out loud, right? And they want to stand in a particular place and make those du'as. And it's perfectly okay for them to push somebody out of the way to stand there and make those du'as. You're trying to emulate the Prophet ﷺ's words, but not his character. The same guy who's making these du'as is drinking a plastic water bottle and chucking it on the street. Why would the Rasul ﷺ ever do that? Like, there's a clear distinction between those two. So when you develop and start emulating the character of Rasulullah ﷺ, then your love of Allah naturally builds. That's how your love of Allah actually builds. It's not some mysterious thing that will build. It will build as you develop and bond your relationship with Allah. For me personally, the thing that makes me fall in love with our Messenger all over again, is a study of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. I would recommend reading a seerah book every year. Just read through the life of the Prophet ﷺ. Listen about the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And the more you learn about him, the more, inshallah, the love will increase. And as your love of Allah Azza wa Jal, I found that nothing has given me love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like the study of the Quran. Make that a part of your life, inshallah, and Allah will make it easy for you. Somebody, Nazneen, actually, very kind of you to ask. So many of you have asked, how's your son Khalid doing? Khalid, alhamdulillah, is in perfect health. May Allah keep him that way. Angels are created to worship Allah alone. So when Allah created and considered creating Adam, how did the angels start to ask questions of their maker? That's the question, isn't it? I asked the question in the video I made about Baqarah campaign in Ramadan that I'll be teaching. How in the world did angels ask the question and question Allah's creation of Adam alayhi salam? I thought they're supposed to be absolutely obedient. I shall not be answering that question. I'll be doing that in Ramadan in detail, inshallah. Nazneen. We'll get there, inshallah. Karishma Sheikh asks, I have a question on Laylatul Qadr. When we say the angels descend and spread throughout the globe and enter each and every house, that's Laylatul Qadr. But since we all have different time zones and lunar calendar, how is it possible to have Laylatul Qadr on the same day and at night time around the world? So here's the thing, Karishma. The spiritual calendar and the spiritual dates are from the world of the unseen, and they are not from the world of the seen. And the way time works, when the Prophet ﷺ, for example, traveled to the seven, across the seven heavens, and went all the way up to meet with Allah Azza wa Jalla. The way time works and the way night and day works in the realm of the unseen is not the same as the realm of the shuhud. The shuhud means the visible world. 24-hour days, time zones, the sun coming up here and going up, going down over there. That stuff is how we walks are thinking about the seen world. But Laylatul Qadr is a reality of the unseen world. So it could be Laylatul Qadr, you know, for one group and another group at different times in the physical sense, but it's actually counted as one by Allah Azza wa Jal in the way that He knows time far beyond we do, right? That is a spiritual reality. A lot of times we take these spiritual texts and we try to think of them in physical ways, in the material ways, in scientific ways, and that just doesn't work. To give you another example of that on a completely different note is, for example, when Allah says hearts have become hard like stone, nobody, no disbeliever has a heart made of stone. If you did surgery, it'd still be a squishy thing. It wouldn't be made of stone, right? So we shouldn't think of these spiritual truths in physical, material, scientific kinds of ways. This is a really interesting last question, guys. How to distinguish between your inner self and the whisper of shaitan? Nizam asked that question. I don't know. If it's a bad idea, consider it both and just get away from it. Just say, A'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajim. And, you know, your nafs only calls you to do bad things that are clearly in violation with Allah's teachings when the shaitan is trained it enough. So get away from your nafs. And by the way, if you have these urges and thoughts in the month of Ramadan, then that's totally your nafs, right? That just means the shaitan's on a good number on your nafs. So even when he's on vacation, your nafs is still at work. But you don't have to make that distinction to do the right thing. Be in good company, stay pure, stay in wudu as much as possible, keep the bathroom door closed at home, you know, and practice some of these basic things, and inshallah shaitan will stay out of your life. And of course, above and beyond else, the remembrance of Allah in good company helps us fight against the whispers of shaitan. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us from the whispers of shaitan. Actually, I did say that's the last question, but there's one more here that I really wanted to get to. My question is how to keep a balance between gratitude and grief. Yaqub alayhi salam cried to a point where he lost his eyesight. So if we are grief-stricken, we cry to Allah, are we being ungrateful? No, you're not being ungrateful, Zainab, if you are crying to Allah. And you are allowed to complain to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you're allowed to be. But at the same time, you can't be overwhelmed with your grief. And even Yaqub alayhi salam, when he heard the most horrible news, he still tried to find something beautiful in it. Sabrun jameel. He literally used the word jameel. In other words, he's forcing himself to be optimistic in the darkest of times. And even after years and years and years, La ajidu riha Yusuf, I find the scent of Yusuf. It's so beautiful that he didn't lose hope. He still hadn't lost hope. So one has to have hope in Allah Azza wa Jal, no matter what loss they've suffered. May Allah Azza wa Jal make it easy for all of you to recuperate from any difficulties that you're going through. May Allah make this Ramadan one that is accepted from all of us, and it's the best Ramadan we've ever had. May Allah Azza wa Jal make this a month that, you know, really strengthens our bond with His book and changes the course of the rest of our lives for the better. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I'll take some of your questions again in the next week. Barakallahu li wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Remember, quran.bayina.com/Ramadan2016. Share with family and friends. And those of you that haven't signed up for the live cast, please do so. I'll see you then. Assalamu alaikum.